In the name of Jesus, amen. It's good for us to be here in this place this day because Jesus is here. Jesus is here and He is at work through His Word. And so it's good for us to be here and let that Word work upon us. We often don't realize it, but all week long, Satan is trying to turn you away from God's Word and promises. All week long, he's working on that. That's his goal. That's his objective. Satan isn't really worried about trying to get people to do bad things, although he does do that. What he really wants to do is turn people away from God's Word and promises. That's his purpose. And it's usually not obvious. In fact, Satan does his best work if no one notices. But all week long, you're getting barraged. Barraged in our hearts, in our minds, in our way of thinking, with ideas and thoughts and desires and actions that are contrary to what our God desires for us. And that's what Satan wants. He wants to keep us turned away from God's Word and promises. And that's why it's good for us to be here today, because Satan has no defense against the Word of God. He's got nothing. In fact, Satan is afraid of God's Word. That's how much power it has. The Bible speaks of how Jesus overcomes evil by the breath of his mouth. So we come here and we let God breathe upon us by his word, by his sacraments, that we would be reminded of who we are and who our God is. The title of today's sermon is a question, and it's a question we will ask and answer both now and at the end of the sermon. The answer doesn't change. The question is, who is scarier than a half-naked, demon-possessed man in a graveyard? That's the question. The answer is Jesus. The answer is Jesus. In our gospel lesson, there's a half-naked, demon-possessed man in a graveyard. The people don't ask him to leave. They ask Jesus to leave. What's this about? What's going on? What does this teach us? Well, Jesus is in Gentile territory. If you're not Jewish, you're Gentile. We're all Gentiles. Jewish people don't associate with Gentiles. Doesn't bother Jesus. He goes into Gentile territory. He is a Savior for all people. Good news for us. Jesus goes into this region. His disciples are with him. Gets out of the boat. As he gets out of the boat, he's met by this crazy man. This man who's half-dressed, demon-possessed, living among the tombs. And the Bible tells us about this condition this man lived in. Would have been horrible. Gospel writer Mark says, "And no one could bind this man anymore, not even with a chain. He had often been bound with shackles and chains, but he wrenched the chains apart. He broke the shackles in pieces. No one had the strength to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and on the mountains, he was always crying out, cutting himself with stones. People had tried to chain and shackle him up, but he would break the chains." Horrible, miserable existence for this man. Demon possession had led him to a life of loneliness and isolation. This is the first man who confronts Jesus. Jesus hasn't said a word, and the demon-possessed man speaks. "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." The demons know who Jesus is. The demons know who Jesus is, and they are terrified. Now you need to think about that. Evil spirits, demons, the devil, those are all very real beings. St. Paul tells us our battle is not against flesh and blood, It's against the powers of darkness, the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. But who are the devil and the demons and the evil spirits afraid of? They are afraid of Jesus. They are afraid of Jesus because they know who has the power. This is the only time when we are told that Jesus gets in a discussion with a demon-possessed person. And Jesus asks him, "What is your name?" And the man says, "Legion," for many demons had entered him. And they begged him not to send them in, and they begged them not to command them to depart into the abyss. As numerous and powerful as these demons were, they know Jesus has authority, and they beg Jesus not to send them into hell. Luke tells us a large herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside. The demons begged him to let them enter these, so he gave them permission. Then the demons came out of the man, entered the pigs, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and drowned. Demons want to destroy, whether it's people or animals. Jesus preserves the life of the man, but allows the demons to destroy the pigs. Unclean spirits in unclean animals. When the herdsmen saw what had happened, they fled and told it in the city and in the country. Then the people went out to see what had happened, and they came to Jesus and found the man from whom the demons had gone sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. People were afraid. Were they afraid because of the loss of pigs and so the loss of income? Were they afraid because of what had happened to the man and maybe they didn't like it? Maybe they were used to the way things were? Maybe they were afraid because what would it mean with Jesus living in their midst? They asked Jesus to leave. Those same fears are still with us today. Jesus offers us freedom and forgiveness and the life he gives. And it's better, but we don't always see it that way. We love what we love. We want what we want. We do what we do. We get used to things that way. We don't want to change. Perhaps we even think of, if I really did what Jesus would have me do, that would take all the fun out of life. As if Jesus is a giant killjoy. Jesus gives us his word, his promises, his life, that we might have life. And he freely gives it. But if you really want Jesus to leave you alone, he will. He doesn't force himself on anybody. If you want him to leave you alone, he will. And so in this account, when Jesus is asked to leave, he gets in the boat and prepares to leave. Now, the formerly demon-possessed man wants to go with Jesus, but Jesus sends him away with this instruction: "Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you." And he went away, proclaiming throughout the whole city how much Jesus had done for him. And so while Jesus does leave in this account, he does something very important. He leaves the man behind whom he had healed. A man who has now the word of Jesus and who has been healed by that word. A man who then goes and speaks of that name of Jesus in among his family, among his friends, in his hometown, and he tells them what Jesus has done for him. Jesus hasn't cast demons out of us, at least not that I'm aware of. But Jesus has done great things for you. You are forgiven. You are going to heaven. It's done. It's taken care of. You have peace with God. Now, Satan will try to make you think you don't, but I'm here to tell you that the Bible says you do. And God's word is more powerful than Satan's word. God has done great things for you, and he's not done doing great things for you. And then he sets you down in a place. He sets you down with a family, with friends, people you work with, associate with. And some of them don't know what you know. Some of them aren't sure Jesus loves them. Some of them doubt that Jesus died for their sins. Many of them don't believe they're going to heaven. God puts you in a place where you can say to them, Jesus loves you and has died for you. And they say, well, how do you know that? The Word of God says so. And the Word of God is powerful, and it does what it says it will do. So when the Word of God says that we are forgiven, we have the promise of heaven, that we have peace with God, then we have all of those things. Those gifts are yours. And God brings you to this place that you might hear those words again and again and again, because all week long, Satan is trying to turn you away from that word. But when we hear that word, it does what it says it will do. And we are put out into a world where things are quite a mess. Our families are often quite a mess, and that's okay too. It's the world in which we live. And we don't wring our hands with worry and fret and anxiety, but rather we let the Word of God speak to us. We let the Word of God breathe and wash over us, reminding us that we, as we abide in the Word of God and rest in Him, we are resting in a power which Satan and the demons are afraid of. We rest in a power which not even death can overcome. The one who has come to be the light in our darkness, the hope in our despair, our confidence in a world gone mad. And He comes and He gives us His word that we might have that assurance and that certainty. So who's scarier than a half-naked, demon-possessed man in a graveyard? Jesus is. You don't know Him as your Savior. You do know Him as your Savior. You know Him as one who loves you, forgives you, has heaven ready for you, and who keeps coming to you through His Word. Rejoice in that power which is put into you through the Word of Christ. In His name, amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep and guard your hearts and minds in true faith until our Lord comes again in glory. Amen.